boy, run. This world is not meant for you. Run, boy, run. They're trying to catch you. Run, boy, run. Running is a victory. Run, boy, run. Beauty lies behind the hills.
Hello, and welcome to Small Screen Justice, a podcast about superhero TV. I'm Dan.
And I'm Jesse, and today we're discussing Season 1, Episode 10 of The Flash, entitled Return of the Rogues, as well as Season 3, Episode 10 of Arrow, entitled Left Behind.
That's Revenge of the Rogues? It's very different, okay? Gotta remember that.
It's fine.
All right, well, let's just talk right off the bat. We didn't really like these episodes as much as some of previous episodes.
Yeah, I mean, I mostly felt let down in terms of mid-season premieres.
Yeah.
Like, if it had been in the middle in, like, October.
Yeah.
Or I guess not October, like, mid-November, I would have been like, okay, that could have been better, but I would have gotten over it.
Yeah.
But this is supposed to be, like, a big thing, because it's the... Like, we haven't had new episodes in a month.
Yeah. I think that for Flash particularly, what hurt me and my feelings about this episode was that my dad, right before we watched this episode, was like, let's rewatch last episode. I was like, okay. And it was, like, so good. And then this episode came on, I was so pumped. And it was, like, not the greatest episode.
Yeah, it was not nearly as good as the last episode.
Yeah. I would actually... Okay, I think it's the worst episode aside from the pilot. I don't think it's bad, though. I'm giving it a B. What about you?
I'd give it a B-. I think it's probably in the same spot, but I really like this show, but you've been, like, completely taken by it.
Yeah.
And I've been, a tiny bit harsher on it.
Yeah. I just, of all the shows that I'm watching, Flash has been the one that I'm most consistently like, yeah, I love the Flash so much. Ah.
That is 100% true.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, so what did you like about the episode?
Well, Joe, as always, was really good, and I really liked his scenes with Barry. I thought it was a good source of comedy. I liked the fact that that the whole scene where Barry moves back in near the end. The show does a great job of little, like, personal moments that aren't about superheroes that I really enjoy.
I really like Barry and Joe's relationship. You know, like, they've got the father-son thing going, and, like, it's a way less overwrought version of Ollie, and I like that The Flash and a cop are, like, actually just friends.
Yeah.
And, like, super tight and, like, working together instead of... And, like, I love that The Flash also, you know, works in law enforcement and, like, was doing this before he got superpowers, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's something that makes The Flash a really interesting character generally.
Yeah, no, I agree. And it is also interesting that he's very similar to Batman in some ways, and that, like, from a young age, he's been driven by blah, 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 but with a smile. Like, it's like...
Yeah, like, he got over it a lot better than Batman did. He's, like, still really upset about it, and, like, we saw in the last episode, like, when it comes up, he can get rageful.
Yeah.
But in his day-to-day life, he's a much nicer person to be around than Batman.
I agree. I really liked a couple of the moments, like, when Barry told Joe about the fact that he told Iris everything.
Yeah.
And at first, Joe thought that he was talking about him being the Flash. I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah, that was a good moment.
And then his reaction when he actually says what it was is Joe's just like, oh, God. And
yeah.
That was really funny. What else did you enjoy about the episode?
I thought that the comedy in the episode was pretty good. I really, really enjoyed the Ghostbusters comment when they about crossing the stream. I liked that they actually sort of acknowledged that. I also liked the comedy bit when Cisco names the Reverse Flash, and then Wells says, actually, I kind of like it.
I thought Wells actually had a number of kind of good quippy lines. Like, during the Ghostbusters things, he sidelines, he's like, oh, that movie is surprisingly scientifically accurate.
Yeah,
I thought that was really good.
And it's amazing to me that Wells is still an enigma.
Because, like,
we know that he has the suit, and we have seen all this stuff that, like, so strongly suggests that he's Reverse Flash, but there's still, like, all this other stuff that is pretty convincing that he's not.
Yeah.
To the point where, like, especially now that we've seen some stuff that, like, really makes it seem like he is, like, overtly, I really hope he's not.
I do kind of
like the idea of there being two Reverse Flashes, or maybe they'll even do a Reverse Flash and a Professor Zoom.
Yeah.
Maybe Wells will go from being Professor Wells to being Professor Zoom.
I could see that, yeah.
Even though that's a dumb name.
Professor Zoom's an amazing name, and if Cisco says it, it's going to be great.
I want Malcolm Merlyn to suggest Professor Zoom, and I want Oliver Queen to say, lame.
Professor Zoom is great. Don't hit on Zoom.
Okay.
I mean, I would at least want to talk about the effects. I mean, this show just continues to impress me, and I know the effects aren't perfect, but I'm never not satisfied. The opening sequence with him training with the robot thing was just, like, movie level. The streams with the two, you know, fire and ice going were really cool. Not perfect, but really fun to watch, and
yeah,
I never...
Yeah, like, I was never like, oh, that looks cheap. I was like, that looks sort of like, I guess, what an ice gun and a fire gun look like.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then also the Firestorm subplot was pretty... I think that's the best handling of Firestorm there's been so far.
I agree with you.
And it's been with him not on the screen.
Yeah. Oh, my God. So, okay, so that reminded me of my really big con that I forgot to put into our list here, which I guess we'll all use to transition into the cons, which is, why didn't they let Sisko get kidnapped instead of Caitlin? Because Sisko actually made sense, because Sisko stopped Captain Cold last episode... last time Captain Cold was around, and so Captain Cold would remember Sisko. Why did it have to be Caitlin? It made no sense to me.
It's probably because they're sexist.
I know. It felt really like it was really
stupid.
Yeah,
it was like, let's put the damsel in distress and have the strong men save her. Like the fact that it didn't deliver because the Flash doesn't save her, and like I didn't, and because they hadn't set up anything with like Sisko feeling like he wasn't a hero or anything like that. Like it was It felt a little weird to me that it was just like
it would
Joe
be...
and Sisko find out where she is, and they just go and pick her up.
It would have been a much more... It's such a small change of just reversing their roles if Caitlin had come and saved him. It would have been a plus for the episode instead of an annoyance.
Yeah. And the fact that Joe is actually the one who ends up saving her robs that from any sort of like... the relationship between Sisko and Caitlin. And it doesn't build a relationship between Joe and Caitlin.
I do like that how capable they've been making both Eddie and Joe, though, that they actually...
Oh, yeah, me too, for sure.
Yeah. What else did you not like about the episode?
Something that... this is maybe a little superficial, but both the premiere of Gotham and the premiere of Flash mention the Rogues in the title.
Yeah.
And neither of them actually, like, do a big Rogues cast.
Yeah.
Like, in this episode, it was literally two Rogues we already knew existed... Captain Cold and Heatwave, and like we'd met Heatwave at the end of the earlier episode Going Rogue.
Yeah.
And I feel like even if they just changed the title, it would have been fine. Like if they called this episode Heatwave, I would have been like, oh, that makes sense because Heatwave's in this episode. Yeah. It would have made a tremendous amount of sense, but like, or Captain Cold Returns or something like that. It didn't feel like it.
Earned the
deserve
title.
That title at all.
Yeah, I
especially because presumably the Rogues cast is going to get bigger.
Yeah. Well, and you also just overall weren't a huge fan of the two Rogues, right?
I think that both of the actors were directed to overact and like really just sort of played their because they represent a dichotomy, right? And like also in addition to that, it's super really cliche metaphor to have the super cold, calculating Captain Cold with his ice gun, and the manic, emotion-driven, hot-tempered guy with his fire gun. I think they need a straight man to make those two characters work. And I like them individually. Mm-hmm. Having them both in the same episode with nothing to ground them felt like a little... It felt overblown.
Yeah, because I didn't feel that way about Captain Cold when he was by himself. I really liked Captain Cold in that first episode.
Yeah, so. I had... a vaguely similar feeling, but it was much less pronounced.
Yeah. I mean, I think in general, it comes down to a taste thing that for some people, they were incredibly comic booky, and if you are really excited about seeing incredibly comic booky characters, you got that. You know, they're very cartoony in a fun way or in an annoying way, depending on who you are.
And like, I'm sure that they're actually pretty... they feel like they're probably pretty close to their early incarnations.
Yeah.
How they act.
Yeah. I was less satisfied with Heatwave than I was with Captain Cold, but...
Yeah. I mean, also, that's probably partly because it was his introductory episode.
Yeah. And then you didn't really like the Iris stuff quite as much.
Yeah, I thought that... I felt like, there's this big reveal last episode, right? Where, Barry goes to Iris and he confesses that he loves her and knows that it's bad time, and, that should be sort of a big deal.
Yeah.
And then they just sort of, talk it out really briefly without much conflict in this episode. Now, presumably, it's mostly just sort of over because, she just gently rejected him and he, took that well.
I mean,
that's basically all that happened.
It is still a fundamental change for the show. I see where you're coming from, that it was a little quick, but it's still a fundamental change for the show if he's not pining for her and hiding his feelings, and they're able to actually move on, and maybe Barry starts dating other people, maybe Barry, like, can relax a little bit.
Yeah, and I just feel like they could have been better done. Like, one way that I think they could have done it is that Barry falls for someone else,
yeah,
and then Iris sort of, like, realizes that she, you know, it's cliche, but Iris realizes that she's in love with him too.
Well, I think that will still happen. Why do you think that this episode makes it so that couldn't happen?
I think that could happen, but I feel like if that had happened without this episode, I would be more satisfied, because I wouldn't feel like there was sort of a huge deflation of the stakes around that issue.
I mean, in some ways, I'm kind of, like, as someone who is not a huge fan of that potential relationship, I like the idea of them relaxing and becoming friends that are actually friends for a while, and not...
Yeah, I mean, I'd like that, too, from the beginning. I just felt like the show didn't deliver on what it set up.
Yeah, I totally see where you're coming from.
Yeah, you know, I feel like that's something that is generally true of this episode, as well as the episode of Arrow that we're going to talk about. And are you ready to talk about that?
Yeah, we can transition to that now, yeah.
I think we both gave this episode a C+.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, it was pretty disappointing.
Before we move on past the grade, I do want to say that a C+ in Arrow is not the same as, like, a B- in Gotham is significantly worse than a C+ in Arrow. That's for my grading, at least.
Because you're comparing it to other episodes of Arrow.
Yeah, I think this is one of the worst episodes of Arrow in quite some time. I don't think it's much worse than the worst episode of Gotham, but...
Yeah.
I just wanted to say that.
Okay. I guess let's start with the cons on this one.
All right, yeah.
Yeah, so you have written here, Hong Kong can die in a hole, and I agree with you.
Yeah.
It's just, like, not a good subplot at all. I feel like the only thing that it is set up at all is that Oliver knew Amanda Waller before before this all happened, number one, and that Maseo is a character that we already know when we get to Nanda Parbat.
Yeah.
And so he can do the thing with the stuff.
It could literally have been, like, a one-episode flashback. Like, all we needed was, like, one episode where he does something nice for him, and then he feels bad and will save his life.
Yeah, like, it did not need all this build-up. Yeah. I think that they felt sort of stuck in their formula.
Yeah.
And we're like, we have to have a season's worth of flashbacks. I think they just generally could have done a much better job with this whole
plotline. I think
it's becoming more evident every episode that these flashbacks are the worst thing that has ever been on Arrow.
Yeah, and it just felt particularly out of place for me in this episode, because Oliver barely was in the episode, so flashing back as though it's like him, it's the idea usually in the show is that he's thinking back to these things.
Yeah.
That
either he's thinking back to it, or that
there's a thematic connection.
It's something that we would think back to if we already knew about it.
Yeah. And there's no thematic connection to this. It's just
it's really
like,
not. It's like, well,
revealing
we gotta get
information.
Through this plot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or, like, I guess it's to make us know why Maseo feels a, like, life debt to Oliver. But I would have bought. I mean,
yeah, they were
honestly,
friends.
Just knowing that they knew each other.
Yeah.
And like, Oliver's already done some things for Maseo.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the whole idea is that he stayed in Hong Kong and killed people to protect his family. We didn't even need this thing.
Yeah. So,
No, I think it's really silly. I also just generally don't like the fact that we saw Oliver at all this episode. I thought he'd be gone for multiple episodes, building the tension. When is he going to come back? When is he going to come back? And this, like, totally deflated everything to me to be seeing this.
We don't want to get too much into, like, what we wanted this episode to be specifically.
Yeah.
Because it's not really fair to judge an episode against just being like, I expected this to happen and it didn't happen.
Yeah.
But I feel like there was definitely, there's this expression, promise of the premise.
Yeah.
Where, like, if you set something up, you have to follow through with it.
Mm-hmm.
And it definitely felt very final at the end of when Oliver was killed. It felt like something that, you know, would take time to recover from.
Yeah.
And the fact that he's already alive completely, that we, like, flashback and saw it happen.
Yeah.
Felt, like, pretty unmotivated, to be honest. And, like, I would have much, if they just completely cut all of the Oliver stuff out of this episode, my grade probably would have gone up a full, it probably would have gone up to a B, honestly.
Yeah, I agree with you, yeah.
If there had been no Oliver at all, and they filled it in with more stuff with, like, Black Canary.
Including flashbacks, you mean, right?
Yeah, and maybe, like, they could have done a little crossover with Flashlight. You know, they call Star Labs and tell that, like, no, not necessarily, but, you know, like, there are other things that they could have put in.
Well, Wildcat, where the hell was he?
Yeah, like... yeah, actually, this is something that Dana and I have been talking about off the podcast for a bit. There was, like, a whole arc with Wildcat at the beginning of the season, and, like, it came to, like, a head in the episode where we find out that Wildcat was a vigilante in the past, and now, you know, he's, like, doing his own thing, and he's been training Laurel, and now we haven't seen him for, like, two months.
Actually, you know what this reminded me of, and you know part of why I was expecting things from this episode that didn't pan out, is the whole idea they were building sounded a lot like the Death of Superman plot in the comics, where Superman, they killed off Superman, he was dead, and then he was gone for a while, and they had a bunch of other four other characters be like, we're gonna try to be the next Superman, and we're gonna try to fill his hole. And then eventually Superman actually comes back and, you know, whatever. So I thought that the next three episodes were going to be sort of like that. And it being like, oh, Black Canary's here, Arsenal's here, Wildcat's here. Who's going to be, like, the next person to really stand up and fill the spot?
Yeah, and I really like the idea of seeing what these characters are without Oliver.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's a really interesting idea for a show that is so based around this one monolithic character to be like, especially, but based around this one monolithic character with a big supporting cast, be like, how does Laurel react to this? How does Felicity react? How does Diggle react? How does Arsenal react? And, like, how do they continue with this mission or not? Mm-hmm. Like, actually, all the stuff that took place in Starling City, I really liked. Actually, in this episode, to be honest.
Well, okay, so I can get why you'd feel that way, but for me, and I know this is, like, almost silly, but the fact that we were seeing him still alive, like, and like, seeing him in this episode really undercut things for me, because, like, yes, even if he hadn't been in this episode and everything had happened the same way, I still would have known, oh, Oliver isn't actually dead. But it would have helped with my suspension of disbelief. I could have put that thought out of my head more and really focused in on what they were feeling. Yeah. And but the way they did it here, I kept flashing back to him being alive. And so it's like, I know he's not dead and everything you're feeling is not going to matter in a couple episodes. And it's all just an exercise that I don't really care about because it doesn't matter in the long run.
Yeah, that definitely would have been way better. And maybe they could have had... like, if they'd done it in a different way, they could have had something like Maceo coming to tell them that it happened. And then if they really needed to continue the Hong Kong flashbacks, have them be from Maceo's point of view.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Stephen Amell could have still been in the episodes and the flashbacks, but it would have been Maceo's flashbacks. I would have been okay with that.
Actually, okay, so I'm totally rewriting the episode here, but I just thought of what I would have wanted, which is 3 months pass between his death, right? And all the flashbacks are from the characters finding out that he died. So it's like, right. Diggle has a flashback of when he found out Oliver died. Felicity flashes back to when she found out. And it's just 3 months later and things have gone to hell without Oliver there. And they're trying to scramble. Like, that's what I was expecting. And I was really sad. So
yeah, I mean, that is just a completely different thing. Yeah. All this said, there were things that we did like about the episode. So, I know that you really liked when Malcolm Merlyn arrived, the bit with Diggle, right?
Yeah, so he's like, guns don't even matter to me, they just annoy me or whatever. And then Diggle takes out a second gun and he's like...
Yeah, it was a nice little gag.
Yeah, it's very, very subtle little thing. And I thought it was
funny. And generally I did like Diggle a lot in this episode. I thought that, and we actually forgot to talk about this in the
outline
cons.
Yeah.
At the end, when Diggle goes in without a mask, that seemed really odd that he would do... It seemed odd that they would go there when that seems like a completely police issue. Like, criminals are doing an illegal thing at a place that the police are supposed to protect.
Yeah.
It shouldn't have just been the police taking care of it. So, like, the fact that he's there shooting people with no mask on...
With the police
weird.
Right outside, they could give you a point out that they could arrest him. Never mind the bad guys find out who he is. The police could see him and arrest him.
Yeah, and the other... I can't decide if this is actually a pro or a con for me. When Diggle fights Brick, he, like, is, like, really, really good at hand-to-hand combat.
Yeah.
Which I don't think that we've really complete... I don't think we've seen him be that good before. So it was a little... It took me out of it a little bit. I liked it.
Yeah,
but it took me out, and I was like, "Wait, is Diggle that good at hand to hand combat? I didn't know that."
Yeah, I didn't take me out, but I can see where you're coming from there. I also I think it's like I've been seeing interviews where people asked whether Diggle would ever get a costume and stuff, and they're like, "Oh, well, Diggle thinks costumes are silly. Like, Diggle's a military man, wouldn't want a costume." And that's fine, but you have to say it in the show. You can't just have no one ever mention it.
Yeah, and you know, it could be a funny moment. Like,
yeah,
all I could say, John, do you want a suit? And he's like, I'll let you wear the pajamas or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. But they've also had episodes where he wore a ski mask. And so it makes – so why some episodes is he wearing a ski mask and other episodes he's not wearing – it just really bothers me.
Why are there some episodes where he's like, I can't do this. I have a baby daughter. And then there's other episodes where he's just like not talking about that at all.
Yeah, no. It's really silly.
Yeah. Diggle's storyline this season has had just a tremendous number of plot holes that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Or, you know, suddenly he just is like in love with Sarah Lance and is like completely and utterly more distraught by her death than anyone else.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also thinks that Wildcat should like have to pay for having accidentally killed someone years ago, when literally he helped Oliver go after the people on the list for like a couple months.
Definite issues there. I love the actor. I think his name's
Jamie
Ramsey.
The actor's great.
Yeah.
I did really like that they put him in the suit.
Yeah.
Maybe that was their attempt. Was the part where he's like, "This is too tight."
Yeah.
But that was. But that also like
that doesn't cover the mask. Yeah, is like, my main issue, the lack of mask.
So, yeah.
And he didn't even wear a mask when he was in the arrow suit.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's go on to the positive stuff. So
I think
we liked a lot of the acting in this episode. I think Felicity's arc was really strong.
Yeah, she was really compelling. I did think that it started to get weird when she kept saying, I know you think I'm in denial. I know you think I'm in denial. I know you think I'm in denial. It's sort of started to come off as like sort of a stereotype of a, you know, crazy angry lady.
Yeah, yeah.
But if it weren't for that dialogue, I would have been really on board with her arc overall.
Yeah, the opening I agree with, that part I wasn't a huge fan with, but the fact that she stopped them from going after Brick and the fact that she went to Routh and sort of like attacked him, being like, "You're being an idiot."
You mean Ray Palmer, who's played by Brandon Routh?
Yes.
I think that was really cool. I thought also for her and for Brandon Routh, who plays Ray Palmer, the scene where she brings up Hannah, and like both her acting, but especially Brandon Routh's acting in that scene was really intense and good. Like he's like, "I know you're upset, but never do that again. It's not okay at all."
Yeah.
And I thought that was really intense and good.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember. I'm totally blanking now. How did their second interaction end, where he apologizes and says that he lost a friend? What does he say?
I think he's just sort of like, "I'm sorry."
Okay.
Like, "I'm sorry that happened to you."
Yeah, I have no memory of what his response was.
I don't think that he really responded. I think he might even just sort of like nodded like somberly. It's totally possible we're both just forgetting something. Yeah. Oh, there was a thing that you're not as convinced of, but I think was probably supposed to be a little Easter egg, was when he's got the targets and they have the clown faces on them.
Yeah.
It's like, "Clown scared me as a little kid." I think that's supposed to be a tiny little nod at the Joker.
Yeah.
Not that the Joker's going to be on the show.
Yeah.
But just like, you know, clowns, they're scary. The superheroes in the DC universe because of the Joker.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, I like that. I did like the choreography and the cinematography of the final fight in the warehouse, especially making Roy's parkour seem – they made it way more seamless. There were like one or two moments where it seemed a little silly again.
Mm-hmm.
But generally, I thought that it just looked like he was using it in a way that was pretty – you know, made him superhero-y in a good way. And I do think that they need to give Colton Haynes a lot more – when we have seen him like have an actual chance to act, I've really liked him, and I don't really know why they like make his part so sidetracked and small.
Can I ask you a question, like more of a general question, which is, did this episode make you think, "Oh, we don't need Oliver," or did it make you think, "Oh, we really need Oliver"?
That's an interesting question. I think that at the end of this episode, I think that they could get by without Oliver.
Yeah,
but I think that having Oliver around is really helpful and important. If for no other reason than to have a central leader.
I think that it's almost too bad. Like, story-wise, I kind of feel like the story of Oliver actually dying Diggle like rising up as the leader in these really tough circumstances and everybody in mourning would have been really interesting.
But they would never do it.
They would never do it. And I like Oliver a lot as a character. So like, I don't want to see him go, but yeah.
I think that it would have been, I also think it would have been really interesting if they'd actually killed Oliver. And then like, you know, it became an Adam, you know, Adam and Black Canary become way more important.
Yeah.
And Arsenal, like, you know, goes through like a tremendous amount of emotional strife as he's like the, cause he's like, he looks like the Green Arrow. So he's red. So he has like that whole sort of psychosis going on. He was directly trained. If he'd been given character development in this show, this would be like really traumatizing.
Yeah, exactly. And I the thing that I always really loved about like classic DC is when they let their characters actually die and pass on the mantle to a different character. In the last few years, they've really actually gone against that and reverted back to their like the original version of each character, which I really don't like. I think it's always really nice when they're able to have the hero, like the legend, be the main character, but it passes between different people.
It's definitely, especially when you're doing, when you've been making the comics as long as DC and Marvel have, like, it is cool to have your characters age and then age out and have new people take on these mantles and have a new take on it as well. It's sort of, you know, it reminds me of like Doctor Who, kind of.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
like,
definitely.
It's always the Doctor, but it's not the same Doctor at all.
Yeah, exactly. Let's talk about Brick, because we haven't even touched on him really. And you had a lot of feelings about Brick, so I'll let you go first.
So I haven't, to be clear, I haven't read any of the comics, but I did some poking around into the comic book character of Brick. And in the comics, Brick is a metahuman, which I think he might be in this, because it sort of seems like what they're hinting at, because he actually did get shot in the head, and it just glanced off. Mm. But in the comics, he's a metahuman who's been given sort of like this super tough skin.
Yeah.
So he is basically impermeable, and he has super strength. But the reason that he's so successful is because of his criminal mind, rather than just his brawn. And I felt like the way that they did Brick in this episode, where it's, you know, he's just amassing sort of a army of henchmen through a smash and grab job of evidence, felt like very sort of like, you know, what would be a good idea. We should go and get all the evidence on these guys, and then they'll all have to listen to me. Also, just another thing is that in the comics, the character's African-American, and this is, it's a pretty white show. I mean, there are some characters of color, but it's a pretty white show, and all of the main villains have been white so far, Amanda Waller aside. But Amanda Waller isn't, like, even really a, she's a, like,
China white.
She's a gray character. Yeah, have we seen China White?
Yeah, what are you talking about? She stole the she fought Katana last episode.
Oh, I forgot.
Yeah, he was in season one in multiple episodes.
Dude, I basically zone out in Hong Kong.
I'm
like, okay, Hong Kong. Okay, yeah. So there have been a couple of people of color as villains.
Bronze Tiger, the guy with the black guy with the claws. There's been another black guy who was an assassin who was the guy from Angel. There've been a lot of that, actually. I couldn't.
I still feel like that's some.
Yeah,
there have been a lot more episodes of Arrow than that. Honestly, I think that in order for me to be like totally on board, they'd have to have parody.
Yeah.
But in any case, like Slade Wilson and Malcolm Merlyn were the two big bads.
Yeah.
And if Brick is going to be the big bad of this season.
Wait. What about Sebastian Blood? He wasn't white, right?
Yeah, he was. Was he not?
Wasn't he like Hispanic or something?
I'm not certain on that. I thought he was white.
I thought that he had some sort of back. I remember they talked about his family, and he had some sort of.
He is played by Kevin Alejandro, so. But okay, so possibly.
Yeah.
But you know the two big bets.
Yeah, I'm not trying to make up for. I'm just
they whitewashed this character.
Yeah, I agree.
That's
with you,
problematic.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Those are basically my thoughts on Brick.
Yeah, I think the character could
be done a lot better. They have a chance totally to redeem the character in my mind.
Yeah.
This is the first episode where he's been big, but we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, my general feelings are just, Like, I didn't hate him. This show has had much worse villains. I did at least like the fact that he's undoing what Oliver's done for the past 8 months, at least gives it somewhat of a personal feel to it for the
characters.
Although
it wasn't because of that. Remember, it was... Oliver and the authorities had these guys. So it's not like he's like getting back at the Arrow. He's just like amassing these henchmen. And
no, I'm saying personal for the main, for our characters, that they feel personally hurt by this, as opposed to just like, oh, I had a jailbreak and people are upset.
Yeah.
Like,
I guess it's true.
Yeah. So I thought that was at least good. I do agree. Like, the White Walking isn't great, and he isn't great in general. He's kind of bleh. But he's kind of a neutral for me overall.
Yeah, you also didn't notice this. I noticed it really strongly. Mm. The actor, Vinnie Jones, played the Juggernaut in X-Men 3 The Last Stand. And he's, like, using the same voice. He's a very similar, like, you know, big, like, huge, tough, strong, super strength type character.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't get that image out of my head. And I didn't want it there because it's from X-Men 3 The Last Stand. Nobody wants any images from that in their head.
No, that is true.
But yeah, so hopefully both The Flash, I totally have faith in The Flash to step it back up next week. Hopefully Arrow will as well.
Yeah, why don't we end out with a positive note of Black Canary had her first appearance.
Yeah, Black Canary had her first appearance. I wish that she'd been in the episode way more, but it was cool to see her at the end.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm excited to see what she's doing next week. I still am hoping that at least one episode doesn't have Arrow in the opening title. Like, I thought that maybe this episode, like, Arrow wouldn't show up in the title screen, you know? Like,
they're not. I feel like if they didn't do that on this one, then they're not going to do it.
You're probably right.
Yeah, but in any case, if you want to get in touch with us, you can check us out on Twitter at Superhero TV Pod, or you can also go to our website, smallscreenjustice.wordpress.com, and you can find lots more superhero news and content there.
Yes, and if you want to send us your thoughts or criticisms on the episode or our podcast, please send them to smallscreenjustice@gmail.com. You can also please rate or review us on iTunes. That would be a really big help. If we get some more reviews on there, we'd be able to connect to a larger audience and bring you more content. Thank you for listening, and hopefully Arrow's better next week.
Yeah, and Small Screen Justice will be back in a flash.